Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Katie Karpla, and I want to thank you for taking time to come here today. And hopefully when you leave, you'll feel like you've gotten at least one thing that you can use of value to market your coaching business. But I wanted to start off going through power and going through leadership, because as a coaching practitioner and owner, you are a leader in what you do, and power is influence. And those are two things that are really going to help leverage how you move your business forward. So I wanted to go into different kinds of power to start out. But as I do that, I'm going to throw out a name of power, and I'd love to get your input on, when you hear that word, what do you think of as power? What does that mean to you? The first type of power I want to address is personal power. So any volunteers as to what that means to you?
Being in control of yourself and your own emotions?
Personal power, that's part of it, but we're going to be thinking of power in the sense of leadership and influence, so related with another person. So personal power, it is very much about, you know, being in control of yourself, but it's also about empowering the other person that you're with. And I also want, as we're going through this, I also want, if anybody's able to write down any connections that you're making about how this relates to you and your personal brand and your style of doing things in ways that are comfortable, because this is going to help you hone in on a style of influence that's going to be authentic for you. Reward power.
Andrew Downey.
Hello. Reward power is, you see this in organizations, like the ability to give promotions or, you know, winning a sales package or something like that. But when you think about it in the coaching context, reward power, we actually do this a lot. But we do it more as we... A lot of times when we remind our clients where they've come and what they've accomplished, they get to hear the reward of their own work. But when we relate this to marketing a business, reward power, we're going to take a look at that a little later as to rewarding people for getting on board when you market your business through the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reference power. Is anybody familiar with that term? That is based on loyalty and friendship. This type of power has probably has the most powerful influence on people, because its basis is trust. And so I want you to think about that too. When you think about your brand and what you're putting out there about who you are in your business, referent power, it's investing in relationships, and it's investing in diverse relationships. Expert power. I know somebody can answer this one. There's got to be an expert out there. Expert power.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, well, I was going to say expert power. That's basically kind of being an expert in your field and being really knowledgeable. People trust authority, people that are authorities in their field. That's what I would take it as.
Absolutely. It's based on your skills, and it's based on your knowledge. So think about who you are as a coach and what is your area of expertise, because you all have one. Even if it may not be marketed heavily at this point, Every single one of you has a gift. There's an area that's very natural for you to be an expert in. So I want you to start thinking about that, because we're going to talk about how to get that out there, how to leverage expert power. Information power. Sounds a lot like expert, doesn't it? Information power is knowing what's going on in your field, knowing who's doing what, knowing what's hot, what's salient in your field. That's what information power is. So it's about being connected with your industry and knowing what's going on and knowing what people want. Connection power. What do you think of when you think of connection power? It's your network. Who are you connected to? This is a really powerful form of influence to have. Years ago, I was talking to a gentleman who worked in the fashion industry in New York, and he had an MBA, and he looked at me and said, I have my job not because of what I know, but who I know. My father was in the garment industry. And I thought that was a really interesting statement to make, because he was very good at what he does. And there's a lot of people that are really good at what they do. But he was making a statement about connection power. Who is in your network? Who do you know? What clubs do you go to? What associations do you belong to? Do you really try to get to know people and connect with them? And it's not about you give me something, I give you something, but really building that relationship with the diverse population out there. It's also the ability to get to know people that are going to ask you, whether it's to speak on a radio show or maybe partner with them in a blog. So it also creates opportunities for PR, which is free. Now, all these things to work really well, they're based on two things, integrity and ethics, which, of course, you know, as a coach, ethics is the cornerstone for what we do. Now, before I move on to how do you build up these types of powers, do we have any thoughts so far as to just hearing the different types of power and influence that you can use and tap into? Let me ask you this. What is the power of the coach?
Katie,
I would say...
Just jumping in for a second. For anyone who's found themselves muted, you can press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Okay.
I would say... compassionate power and listening power.
And listening power. Absolutely. And what does that do? That builds rapport, right?
It builds rapport and it builds relationship.
Yeah. So those are two things that coaches have and coaches use all the time. So if we take a look at these different types of power, what are the two types of power that you feel are going to be the easiest for the coach to leverage, just based on those skill sets they naturally have?
Personal
connected
and
power,
reference?
Maybe one.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Personal and reference?
referent power. Yeah.
Yep.
Connection power.
I think personal power also, in an ability to empower someone else.
Yes, empowerment. And I heard the gentleman in the background. What is your name again?
It's Glenn Ramsey. I mentioned connected power in a way as well.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, what you had mentioned before about the listening, the support, you know, building rapport, that connection power, those skill sets alone as a coach, that ability to connect, tapped on all these different types of power that are out there. The one that probably stands out that needs to leverage a little more of the skill sets is the expert power. But if I were to sit down and talk to each of you individually, I suspect that you have a power, you have an area of expertise that you could use in power, and you may not even know it now. It may be something that's so natural to you that you don't even think about it. And ways to discover that if you're not aware of it. What are the things you read about all the time? What's the area of coaching you're drawn to? Who do you look up to as a guru in the coaching field? Those kind of things. So if you're not sure where your area of expertise is, start thinking about what you're drawn to, what you do. What is it that you do in the coaching session that's unique? What is something that you depend on in the coaching session that's unique? And how can you communicate that? How can you start to get that out there with people? So I would love to hear, because I know that we have all different types of coaches on the phone, I would love to hear areas of expertise you feel like you're in or areas of expertise that you would like to develop or be known for.
Vision, purpose, coaching, leadership, family.
So as of this point, are you coaching in those realms?
Yes.
You are. Out of those areas, which one do you feel like you have the most experience and success with?
I think I have the most experience and success. I think I have the most experience in leadership coaching and success in leadership, and also family coaching, interesting enough. I discovered this over a number of sessions and success that I've had with a recent client.
So with the two of those different fields, what's the overlap with that?
I think the overlap is the visioning and the purpose. Because everyone, regardless of your personal, professional, like a disposition, everyone's different. And in the family side, I coach someone to be a leader over, I guess, their destiny or the vision that they created for their her marriage and her family. And on the leadership side, it's very similar. It's the vision, the purpose. Of the business, and how do they envision it coming to fruition or becoming what it is desired to be.
Right. So since you've got two totally different channels of coaching that you're working with right now, and there's that overlap of vision and purpose, how can you leverage that to be an expert?
Did you ask me something? I'm sorry, I'm driving.
How could you leverage the overlap to be an expert? And I'm thinking of this in the sense that vision and purpose is the umbrella that you put those two types of coaching under.
Yeah.
And when you think about purpose, I mean, just that word in itself is very motivating. So if I were to look at your bookshelf, I'm assuming that I would find literature along those lines in that topic. Would that be right to assume that?
I would say yes. I would say you would probably find leadership coaching, purpose, visioning, books relating to change management, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the reason that I'm honing in on this is because you're doing the two different types of coaching, and that is the overlap, and that also sounds like that's really the cornerstone of interest for you with the work that you do. Is that right?
Yes.
So if you were to become known as an expert in this, what are some ways that you could do that you can think of right off the top of your head?
I would say, I would probably say I could become an expert in visioning and identifying one's mission. I recently conducted a seminar for developing one's vision, mission, and values, and using that to create mission and vision statements.
Right.
And it was amazing to interact with business people who were aspiring to get into business, who were passionate about what they wanted to do but weren't clear about what their vision or purpose or mission was. And after coaching them on this, there was tremendous clarity in this area. I even had like 5 people stay back after the talk, and we worked it through. It was really, really amazing.
It sounds really powerful. So are you doing any writing? Are you doing any blogging? Are you getting anything out there?
Not yet, and that's the reason why I wanted to get on this call, because I realized that I have a lot of information. I have a lot of notes that I've made and collected over some time.
Right.
And the way that I present the material that is common knowledge, I sort of present it in a way that's a little different from the way people usually interpret it.
Right.
And so I'm beginning to collect information for perhaps publishing some sort of insightful guide or something in a short way.
So in the short term, before you do a guide, would something like blogging support that?
I considered that. I didn't know how to blog, and I think there's another call coming up with the I think there's another call coming up soon that talks about that I signed up for.
I think that's something that might be really valuable to you and really anybody in this call, because it's really about getting your message out there, especially if you are interested in building up your brand, and your influence is being an expert in your chosen area. And one thing that I hope everybody was able to really pull out of how we just talked, if he's doing two distinct different types of coaching, but there's an overlap there. You know, who he is, what drives him, and what he's able to offer, he's doing that in both types of coaching. So if you're able to pinpoint that one area that's your edge and capitalize on that as the expert, that's really going to move you forward, not just brand-wise, but you know, if that is what somebody feels connected to, they're going to be more drawn to you if they're seeking out a coach, or maybe even doing information on what is coaching, how would coaching be a benefit? It's that emotional component of branding. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I've never heard of an emotional branding. That's a new term. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, branding is emotional. You hear the word a lot in business, and then you hear even personal branding, but the bottom line is those decisions to stick with a brand or a person, it's based on our emotions. based on our experience that we've had with them. It's not always rational. I mean, why does somebody pay one-third more for a product that may have the exact same ingredients in it, but they go with a higher brand? There's an emotional component to it. Happens with people, too.
Yeah, you're right.
So is that helpful for you?
Very much so. Thank you.
Good. Is there anybody else that wants to talk about maybe an area that they have a desire to be an expert in or feel like they're an expert in at this point? Okay, well, I'm going to move on to something a little more practical that everybody can use. And we can always come back to this if anybody else has questions about it or maybe thoughts come up down the road. I want to talk a little bit about persuasion. So when you think of persuasion, what comes to mind?
Don't ask us.
Pardon? Thoughts on persuasion? Well, I'm going to go into, we had just talked about branding, emotional branding, that power of connection. That is a way of persuasion, rapport. Does the person feel heard? Now, outside of that emotional connection, rational persuasion I want to talk to, because this is something that you can use as you organize how you market or how you present yourself. And one of the reasons that I wanted to bring this up is because when I ask people what they do at networking meetings, and if they tell me they're a coach or they're telling me they're a consultant, they're not necessarily it's almost very abstract, frequently, the language that's used. They're not really pinpointing what it is, what they're offering. I mean, and with rational persuasion, if you're going to market yourself, there's a couple things that you can hit. The first thing is you honestly think, what is the need of the client? How are they going to benefit from it? You know, saying you're a coach, sometimes people don't even know what coaching is. Sometimes when I say I'm a coach, people ask me what sport I coach. Which, you know, it's a newer industry in a lot of ways. And so it's really our job and responsibility to, you know, let them know what it is and what the benefit is. So the first thing you want to think about is, you know, how are others going to benefit? And explain that to them. And explain it to them in a very simple way. You know, you always talk about the elevator speech. You hear that a lot. If you can consolidate what you do and hit the need of how that benefits to another person, that's going to help create the connection and the understanding that you need to move on to the other steps. Now, the next question you want to ask yourself is, can you provide evidence of the benefit? Now, in the sense of marketing your business, do you have testimonies from other clients? On your website, do you have case studies? Is there something that you can pull out that shows the evidence of the benefit that they want to get from what you're offering? And then the next thing to consider are steps to how you address the problem. Is it from the inside out? Do you start out with assessments? Do you let them know about the accountability and consistency process? And as we heard earlier, vision and purpose. That's a step he uses to address the problem. So those three points right there on the benefit, evidence, and addressing the problem, the steps to addressing the problem, are things you want to consider when you start to write out a plan or a strategy for marketing what you do. These three things not only help the client understand what you do, but understanding the process is very important to some people. It needs to make sense what is going to happen in the sessions with you. Where are they going to go? Are there any questions about that? Okay, so now we're going to move on to another building block before we start to market for the holidays. I'm covering all of this because these are things I want you to think about. So when you do go to market, it's going to help you formulate a plan that's authentic to you. And that's really what it's about. So after you consider these things, the type of network that you have, how you address the problem, the evidence that you have, maintaining integrity and your point of expertise, what is your mission? Do you have a mission statement? Do you have a personal philosophy that charges the sessions that you're in when you're coaching? And what's your motive? Why do you do what you do? And I would love to hear why you do what you do. Why are you drawn to coaching? What's your motive? Sharon, I'm going to call you out.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew it sooner or later. I do it because I derive great satisfaction from watching someone come to a realization for themselves and moving themselves off of that place where they feel stuck and stifled. I love that moment when you see the light bulb go on in someone's face or you hear it in their voice and you've actually kind of helped them navigate through a difficult spot.
So if that's what motivates you, what is your philosophy and your mission?
I think my mission is to partner with someone so that they come to that on their own, though I may be guiding them gently or helping them find it. I mean, I think it's more important for them to kind of find it on their own and then they really internalize it and it becomes real for them, as opposed to my saying, well, I think you should do this. I think that process of watching someone figure something out for themselves is wonderful and finding power within themselves.
So how can you consolidate that down to one sentence?
Oh, come on, Katie.
I know you can do this.
Yeah, on the spot, on a recording. That's not fair. Somebody else consolidate that for me.
Let's bring in somebody else with what has just said, with what she said. Does anybody have any creative thoughts out there how she could put that into one sentence?
Come on, you guys.
Is it star 6 to unmute? Is that right?
I'm thinking, but the hamster is moving in the wheel, but the wheel isn't going very fast. I'm sorry. I'm trying to consolidate it as we speak. It's a beautiful, I really like where you're going with it, but I'm here with you. I'm thinking.
Thank you. I'm feeling so very alone.
Okay, let me ask you an easier question. Maybe it's not easier. I think it's easier. So if you were to answer and respond in one sentence, how do you want to support people? What would that sentence be?
I want to help them think for themselves.
That's actually a pretty powerful statement.
Yeah.
So pulling out of that, and I'm thinking about this as words from, like, marketing. At least the first word that I think of is independence, like self-sufficiency. And group, what are other words that you can pull out of the sentence that Sharon just stated? Helping people think for themselves. One word.
How about differentiation?
Differentiation?
Yeah. The ability to think for oneself and still be able to interact with whatever their environment is.
Right. So when you said that, I thought of a systems approach, like interdependence.
Absolutely. It's absolutely a systems way of thinking, which that's kind of how I think. So, you know, but I think that's hard for people to do. And I think if you can give somebody, you know, tools to kind of find that, that's where the real empowering begins. If somebody
right.
has that ability to stand up and be who they are and think for themselves and yet find ways to navigate through the world and maintain relationships, that's a big thing.
It is. And one of the reasons that I want you to think about not only just your sentence, but pulling out words to describe that sentence, because that's coming from you. That's coming what's meaningful for you. And your language is going to help connect to somebody else where that language resonates. And those are words that you can use when you market yourself. So now we're going to move on to the real practical part. Okay, how do you market your business for the holidays?
Hello?
Hello? It's *6 to unmute. So how to market your business for the holidays? And I'm sure there are people here that are all different at all different levels in their practice. So this first one is for people that have established clients. The first place you want to go is you want to go into your database of emails with clients. For those who do not have an established database of clients, go into your database of emails and your contacts. You can send out a holiday email. And this email is not going to deal with selling. It's just going to wish people happy holidays. And designing the email coming from your business. And for those that are willing to take more time, you can send a card that has a little more power. Email obviously is more efficient with time. But for those of you that are able to actually sit down and write, there is something about receiving something handwritten that's really, really powerful. Now, what you can do after you send out holiday email, you can always follow up a few days later with another holiday email that might promote a Black Friday special or the 12 days of Christmas or a Hanukkah promotion. You know, something about the holiday, New Year's, gearing up for the New Year's. But it's best to send out something first where it has absolutely nothing to do with selling, just genuinely saying happy holidays. And does anybody do this already? But that's something to think about gearing up for the holidays, because Thanksgiving is next week. Another way to look at the holidays is cross-promoting businesses. Is there somebody that you know that does something that's compatible with what you do, where if your client went to them, it would benefit your client, or if their client went to you, it would also benefit the client? Is there somebody in your network who is also a business owner or a business that you know of where your two businesses could support each other in cross-promoting through the holidays?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Well, I teach yoga, and I use coaching within my yoga practice.
Right.
For military spouses. And a lot of times they find themselves needing, like, resume help and things like that. So around the holidays, I have a friend that writes resumes, and we cross-promote. If my military spouses need any sort of resume help or job advice, I connect them with her, and she connects her kind of stressed-out clients to me for yoga. So it's a pretty cool relationship, and I actually really like this time of year.
So you feel that business increases as a result of that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is that something that you could do throughout the year with her?
You know, I probably could. We just tend to do it around the holidays because the holidays get kind of slow for her.
Right.
But, yeah, we could probably do that throughout the year just because I know that my clients are always, you know, they move at the drop of a hat, you know, and so do I, so...
And let me ask you this, because you've had success with this. When you two do this together, cross-promote through the holidays, are you also integrating specials or packages?
We do. It really kind of depends on the client. But really what I'll do is you get, you know, a few coaching sessions, and then at the end of it, you know, if you decide to make a career change, or if you want to kind of switch up your resume, you get probably like 15 to 10% off. We work on a sliding scale just because not everyone can afford her
right.
prices.
Right.
And you get to use her, you know, you get to get a resume or some career advice, you know, from her, because she's just really an expert with that.
Nice. That's a great idea. So with you two doing this, having already have done this, do you feel like you get referrals out of this as well?
We do. We're working on trying to encourage our clients to give a few more referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our next step, really kind of working on that.
So what type of coaching is it that you're doing where you're cross-networking with her? Is it career or...
It's basically personal life coaching and relationship life and relationship coaching.
Okay.
And so when they decide they want to make the jump to for a career move, I'm like, okay, let me point you in the right direction. I'm all about, if I'm not an expert in it, I definitely won't coach you in it. So that's my thing.
Right. So when they get to that point with career, are you coaching them at all or just referring out with the resumes? Or
I refer out to them with resumes
okay.
for the resumes, and if they need any help as far as, you know, how do I approach this interview, she's there for them. She's got a pretty good service going.
So let me ask you this question. Since you're already doing that, could you also market yourself as a coach that way, with that being an area of specialty, and work with this other woman to continue cross-networking with each other's businesses?
I haven't thought about it like that, but I probably could.
And just food for thought to think about after the call is Where are the places that you could go or associations to start to connect with people that would be interested in those cross-marketed services?
Okay. Yeah, I've got one. She can't join that one. I've got a couple resources that I've been starting to kind of get the word out in, but definitely probably we might need to kind of look into some stuff we could get into with, or, you know, some places we could both market together.
Right.
Because the places where I'm marketing, she can't necessarily market.
Now, are either of you blogging or writing?
Yes, I'm writing. I try to publish something. It's pretty recent. I've tried to publish something probably once every 2 weeks with an online newspaper.
Okay. That's nice. So have you thought about maybe writing a piece with her?
No, I've never considered that. That'd be really interesting.
Do you think that would help support the cross-marketing?
I'm sure it would, depending on, you know, what we wrote about. But we're in similar fields anyway, so.
Right. So you're definitely supporting each other with what you do. So I'm wondering if bringing in the two different lenses and perspectives and finding the common ground there and writing about that and how it supports each other might support cross-marketing and drawing in more clients.
And that would work.
Tapping into that area, becoming an expert.
Okay. Yeah. We'd have to find a different group, I guess, to kind of for us to get published in, because the newspaper I'm writing for, they definitely don't do much with careers. They kind of work more with, like, yoga and just kind of taking care of yourself and holistic learning.
What about online blogs?
An online blog? I think she may have one.
Yeah, that may be a conversation that
I'll
explore with her.
She's got one up, but it hasn't been updated in a while. I think that's the issue.
But you can always update it.
Yes.
You can always update it. And since the holidays are here now, you two may want to have a conversation and really get creative about what you do and how can you take it to the next level. So outside of the holidays, you can create some sustainability throughout the year that might be a benefit for both of you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll definitely consider that. It gives me a lot to think about.
It is. Write this down, because if you're like me, I'll forget things when I get off call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm definitely writing this stuff down.
So we're going to go on to, does anybody else have any other questions about cross-marketing or any ideas? Cross-marketing is really powerful, and it really is thinking outside of the box. There's people around you that you may not have even thought of where you two could support each other in your businesses. So it's actually a fun place to get creative if you like to think outside of the box. So the next thing to think about is the first holiday coming up where at least our country goes crazy with sales, is Black Friday. Running a sale on Black Friday, whether that's through a social media network for a timeline, is something that if you feel comfortable doing, that's something you can do. I know not all coaches feel comfortable discounting a package or offering a bundle. But for those of you that do, that's really an opportunity to do that for just like the stores do, between this hour and this hour. This package is sold for this price. It's normally that price. Are any of you at this point selling packages or bundles?
Hello? I'm selling packages.
You are?
Yeah, it's like I'm taking over the phone call, but yeah, I'm selling packages at this point.
Now, is it like the amount of coaching packages, like this many sessions, da-da-da-da-da?
Yes, it's it's one session a week along with if they want it. The package that I offer is you get one session, coaching session a week, and then I offer you one yoga class. And I discount it if you get it for several months.
Right.
And it works really well because people kind of see the price difference. You know, it's a lot less expensive to buy the bundle than it is to pay for every single package. And that creates longevity with my clients because they just renew and they get that bundle again.
So
you know,
you're
that way
actually
have
getting
people.
Creative and integrating.
Yeah.
Too. I
Definitely.
Like that idea. So thinking about the holidays, I imagine that that's probably a really good time because you are integrating yoga. What are some of the things that people naturally think about around the holidays that stress them out, that coaches can support them with?
I think a lot of people feel pulled in so many different directions and like they have to please everybody. I mean, even I feel like that. You just spread yourself way too thin. I find that a lot of my clients need support in that way, just to know that it's okay to say no. You don't have to go to you don't have to go to three Christmas parties on one day or something like that. You know, it's really okay to focus on yourself. That's how I support them.
Just maintaining that balance for you. So that's really,
yeah.
So what I'm hearing from you, that balance is also an important motive for you when you're working with a client.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's something you can leverage, and that's a word that you can use. When you're writing, when you're marketing, when you're creating, you know, really getting your brand concrete. But what I would like everybody to think about, because everybody here is doing different types of coaching and we're talking about bundles, we're thinking about the holidays and marketing. This goes back to the need. What is the need of the client during the holidays? What does everybody want to do January 1st? They want to go on a diet, right? So for those of you that work in the wellness arena, it's a great opportunity to market a wellness package. Other things that they may want to get in order, and you talked about maintaining balance. You know, and that's also something that January 1st, people want to get back in the swing of their routines and their life, you know, balancing their relationships, focusing on different areas of work. So sitting down and thinking about the type of coaching that you do, what the need of that client is during the holiday, you can design a package or a bundle that's going to meet that need. And, you know, your first opportunity is Black Friday. Whether you choose to do it for the whole day or if you choose to do it like retailers between this hour and that hour. So the next question is, well, how do I get people to know about it? Probably the easiest way to do it at this point, since we are a week before, is tapping into your network, social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, or even if you have a web page where you can write about it. And self-promotion, that's another thing that I want to put in there too. For those of you that have websites and those of you that want to build up PR and expert power, a lot of times on websites you see what's happening in the media. You can also label that button, what's going on. Like if you've gotten an award or a new specialty or you worked at an event that you're able to discuss or outcomes, that's a way to get the expertise out there. Now you compare that with a package. If, something that you're doing is very relevant to the needs of the client during the holiday season, that's a way to leverage that during this time of year. Does that make sense? And let me ask you this. You said that you've been writing for the newspaper. Do you have a website?
I have one, and I'm working on it. I'm working on kind of getting it together so that I can get what I've written for this online paper to kind of all have everything all in one place, because my stuff is, it's scattered all over. I've done a lot of writing, and it's all kind of, it's scattered. So I've got to consolidate it all in one place.
Right, and so you can have it on that one page, consolidate it, and what's that doing? That's building your credibility as an expert, right?
Yes.
And
definitely.
Now this newspaper, is it online as well?
Yeah. Oh, it's strictly, I think they might do some stuff in print, but it's strictly online. It's called the Yogi Times. I really kind of, I incorporate a lot of my yoga teaching in with my coaching.
Right.
So I write about finding balance in yoga, finding your fearlessness and courage and things like that, things I talk about in coaching. It's all kind of on that page, and it's integrated. So
now are you
that's using, where I am in that.
Are you using social media right now?
Yes. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Elo and Pinterest.
Now, is there anything that you've written in the past that would be relevant for the holidays now that you could repost?
There's one article, I'd have to find it. I wrote it, it was basically what I did was I incorporated the days of Kwanzaa into this kind of self-improvement as a whole, just as far as finding your faith and creativity and just really finding yourself and
right.
using those principles, you know, just to find balance within your life. I could definitely use that, but Kwanzaa's kind of a ways off. That's what, next month? The countdown begins. Yeah, that's in probably about a month.
Right. So, you know, looking at what you may have done in the past that you can put out there now, and that's for everybody. If you've written
mm-hmm.
any articles or written any blogs in the past that are relevant now, repost them. Get it out there again. Or, you know, updated version. You can even do an updated version, but get it out there. And that helps minimize a little bit all the organization that goes on if you've already got something concrete that you can work with. Promotional items. That's a way that you can leverage the holidays. I mean, obviously there are promotional items like pens or, you know, magnets or letter openers, those kind of things. But promotional, and I'm thinking about this in the context of tapping into your network.